Hello, this is 400 Thoughts. This is episode 19. Whose idea was it again? Before we get started, just wanted to talk about how the format of the show is going to go for at least the next year, or at least what I'm planning on being for the year 2020. Even episodes will be the ones with a little bit more editing and a little bit more work in them, and the odd-numbered episodes will be the straight record send out immediately. So this is episode 19. Immediately once I get done recording this episode, I'm just going to send it out for all y'all to hear. And as well as the odd number episodes will be a bit of a reflection, kind of a audio diary of sorts, as far as kind of my weekly summary and how I like to do that, as I like to focus on three things. But I will get to that at the end of the episode. And I'll do that weekly as far as the odd episodes go. Even ones might take a week or two to come out, so there might be a little bit of a break. Actually, that won't make sense. I'll still... Two podcasts a week. That's the goal. We'll see if it works out. But the odd-numbered episodes will be no edits. And the even episode will be the one with the music and all that jazz. So you just have to listen to my voice for the odd numbered episodes. Anyway, here we go. So this episode, I was thinking about intellectual property and different complaints that I have heard from political pundits, and this isn't a political podcast, but talking about how China has stolen a lot of intellectual property because they're not able to innovate as well as American industries or other foreign markets, and how that's bad. And I've been thinking a lot about personal property and property rights and rights of the common good and other things like that, as far as which commodities or services should be provided to everybody, or at least if things are cheap enough, which should be assumed to be free. Not free, nothing's free, but what is a reasonable amount of service or product that could be distributed at an extremely affordable price to make it almost free or essentially free, and which sorts of property should be protected as far as, well, I mean, I suppose anybody would say all property should be protected, but what forms of property have rights in a sense, like which one has the most rights? Obviously, probably the highest right would be your physical body. You know, there's many laws protecting what somebody can and cannot do to your physical body, and then extensions from that, your personal property, such as your personal belongings and investments and all that sort of stuff. But there's also intellectual property, so you've got trademarks and patents and trade secrets and things like that that people might want to steal or acquire or borrow indefinitely that might give them a financial advantage. And I was thinking about how that really works. So I was thinking, if you had like an airline that had really cool jets, really cool airplanes that could get you from, say, Atlanta to Boise. Actually, I don't know. Say Atlanta to South Carolina, and that'll be about a 3-hour flight. And you have another airline that they have even faster airplanes that can get you there in 2.5 hours or 2 hours. Let's make it a little simpler. 2 hours. It might, and we're saying it's a different technology, not just it's a better booking, that, you know, you don't have to stop over in Charlotte or something. Or another city that you can, they're both direct flights. Both direct flights, two different airlines, and the airlines are two different airplanes provided by airline A and airline B. Airline A is a super fast one that can get you there in 2 hours, and airline B can get you there in 3 hours. Now, airline A, because they can get you there in 2 hours, they're a little bit more expensive. They got the cool guy jets that can get you there faster. And airline B, they probably got maybe more planes in general, but they're not as fast. They're a little bit cheaper tickets, but they'll get you there in 3 hours. So it's kind of, you can get there, but if you pay a premium, you can get there in 2 hours. You got faster planes. Now, what if airline B stole the blueprints or the schematics of how the airplane A company or airline was, what their plans, like how their super fast jets are, like how that works? They steal that technology, those technical notes, and then they pretty much copycat. They can build, and they don't probably build themselves. They probably subcontract that out to a different airline company, but they get those airplanes built. So now the company that had more airplanes that were cheaper but took you longer now has fast airplanes. So now they can get you there in 2 hours and kind of cut out that other business, and maybe they can maintain their prices because of quantity or whatnot. Airline A would be pretty pissed. But the question to me as a consumer is, why do I care about airline A? Like, what? All they did was they were able to find the brute fact of how to physically move one airplane faster in the sky than another based on, laws of physics, and they had that information, which is certainly amazing for whoever scientists or aeronautical engineer was able to figure that out. But is it almost like discovering a chemical makeup that can do certain things? Are those just kind of brute facts, or those things that by discovering them they come into existence? I would say no. I don't think that's how it works. I don't think the people that, quote unquote, discovered trigonometry or algebra created those maths. I think those mathematical principles existed, and that mankind was able to develop mathematically to discover that. Same thing with material science or other forms of science, where we discover things, and that's kind of things that we that's essentially it. We discover just brute facts about how things work. Benjamin Franklin didn't invent electricity or understand how. He did invent the lightning rod, and so in a sense he figured out how to prevent houses from getting burned down or struck by lightning in a way that would burn them down. But that's just a fact of how that would have worked, based on the actual, brute fact of how a lightning rod works, how it disperses the electricity, how it's grounded. Like, that's just reality. You're discovering things that are real. But the reason why people, I think, get upset about when people steal trade secrets like that is you stole their lunch money. You stole their money. That was their livelihood. That was, maybe years of R&D, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and you just stole the brute fact. But I think at the end of the day, it's still a brute fact. I mean, airplane A wasn't airplane A because the scientists or R&D people or aeronautical engineers that worked for airline A were super amazing. Yes, they were amazing at that. They found a way to make an airplane fly faster, but that's just how it works. If airline C was able to be able to cover the distance even faster, create a commercially safe jet that didn't piss off so many people, that kind of like the Concorde did, and was able to travel what would take 3 hours in 1 hour, would airline A be mad at airline C? No, because airline C just discovered a brute fact about how the laws of physics allow a steel tube to fly in the air even faster. Like, it's I don't really understand it. And there's, I think it's the, what's it called? The Shenzhen? I don't know any language or dialect in Chinese, so I don't know how to pronounce it. But there's a certain province in China that's fairly well known for its innovation, or its ability to turn and develop products very quickly. And I think that's because specifically in that area, there is absolutely no protection of intellectual property at all. So there's a lot of reverse engineering. There's a lot of people stealing from other companies and other people in order to make things faster. And so it's kind of an interesting model when you completely eliminate all rights of intellectual property. It's just the ideas and who has the infrastructure, who has the ability to capitalize on those ideas. So it's kind of like a, I wouldn't say it's laissez-faire capitalism, but it's a very kind of pragmatic, kind of evolutionarily, whoever has the most stuff, the most money, the most capital, and the best idea is the winner. Sometimes, maybe. It's just whoever can turn that idea and sell it. So I guess marketing's obviously a part of that as well. But China used to be known as just thieves, but I don't think they would consider themselves thieves as far as they're just grabbing the brute facts of the ideas that they happen to take from people. So I guess they're idea thieves, but I don't know how you can steal an idea. Like, an idea is just, it's just true. It's true or it's not. Like, you could steal a recipe and make a recipe of, say, I'm saying like of a cake or something like that. And it would be an amazing cake if you followed the recipe straight. But would the person that you stole that recipe from be mad because you stole their invention? Yeah, I mean, technically it was their invention of making whatever it was, red velvet cake, that way. But the fact that red velvet cake is delicious is just, again, it's a brute fact. If you put in the wrong number of eggs or totally mess with the amount of salt or baking powder or baking soda, maybe it wouldn't be great at all. Maybe it tastes like crap. But the fact that that cake is just delicious, you just discovered a reality in and of itself. That cake was going to be good, no matter what, no matter who made it. That cake was going to be legit. So I don't know. I don't really know how to defend intellectual property as far as if a thing is a thing. That's not very descriptive. If the brute fact of, say, how to make the best robot, so if you're making a robot that is a bipedal robot that needs to be able to climb a boulder, if somebody steals the schematics from, say, Boston Dynamics or another robotics area, like if they went to Honda Robotics in Japan and were trying to steal their stuff, it wouldn't really matter at the end of the day because the best model or the best idea of the robot does exist. I mean, robot's a little bit trickier because you could have like 20 or even 100 designs of very effective robots to scale a boulder. But if you were doing like a time trial and one design did end up beating the others, you could say this was the most effective design. There's kind of a race right now to make the fully, I can't remember, it's like level 5 or level 3, I don't know how many levels they go to, but fully automatic, not automatic, automated driving vehicles. There's two, I think, two systems that are kind of at war right now. There's the laser, I can't remember the names of the system, but basically one of them is uses lasers in order to check distances between objects and relay that back to provide the spatial information for the vehicle to guide itself, and then the other one uses visual cameras with a lot of different sensors to measure. And technically, I think the laser one should be the most reliable one or the most practical one because you need a lot more processing power and a lot more information in the visual, the camera one, in order to make it function. But Tesla's using the visual one, and all the other companies are using the light laser one because I guess it's maybe slightly cheaper, or again, it's easier to get faster results with the laser guided system where it just, I think it spins the laser a bunch in order to measure its surroundings. But Tesla's winning by like a lot. So maybe in the end, the brute fact of the camera system for his design is actually the best way to do it. Maybe not. Maybe the lasers will catch up with more capital. I don't know. But there will be one winner or a better design that does work. Unless it's kind of like who's gonna win between the war of it was like HD and Blu-ray, or no, I think there was something before. I think Blu-ray came later, or was it HD versus Blu-ray? There have been a few different format wars. You got VHS and Betamax, I don't know if LaserDisc was challenging anybody at the time, but you could just have the whoever owns the market and distribution forces their invention on people. But eventually, I think the right invention or the most useful or maybe the most enjoyable product comes out. I'm kind of talking a little bit abstractly about intellectual property. But what about one that would be super profitable? What's super profitable? So, probably one of the best industries to get into to make lots of money would probably be the pharmaceutical industry, and that is because nobody wants to die and everybody wants to be cured or feel less pain or get fixed and all that sort of stuff. And so whoever's got the best miracle drug is king. And a lot of money goes into research and development to make the best treatment or the best drug or the best cream or whatever to fix people up. But let's see, what would be a really good one? Let's say, there was a, they finally were able to find a good protocol or a good way to treat Alzheimer's and dementia, the degenerating neurological diseases and family of diseases that lead to quite a lot of people dying. If there was an actual cure for that, you know, you got to take these pills or these injections every week for 6 weeks, and then you should be right as rain. Like, yes, you still will get older, and maybe it'll be a little bit harder to remember some things, but not to the extent of dementia or Alzheimer's, if that was developed. Now, say somebody came in at midnight wearing a ninja suit and stole the processes, not the process, but the plans for how to make the correct cocktail of those medications. So they got the chemical compounds and then also the processes of how to make that. They stole that and they put it on the internet. Now, everybody on the internet has access to the cure of Alzheimer's. It's going to be pointless to a lot of people that get on the internet because a lot of people on the internet are looking at YouTube and other stuff. But that information is now available to everybody. Would the company that spent all that money and all that time and all the scientists that, you know, devoted their lives to create a cure, will they be mad? Maybe. I mean, hopefully that doesn't affect their Christmas bonus or anything like that. But if everybody now can manufacture and get rid of Alzheimer's and dementia, I feel like that's a net win for everybody. Like, sure, that company is not going to be the exclusive owner and make tons and tons of money, but is that bad? Like, I'm not gonna shed a tear. I'm not gonna be super sad that if I was in the camp of people that had early onset dementia or Alzheimer's with that. No, I'd be super happy. I don't care where the drugs are coming from. Just give me the drugs. Just give me the freaking drugs. I don't care. So, and I can think of other like medical procedures or things that would be super beneficial, but does the person that has that injury or that condition really care if somebody steals and uses that product? No, I don't think anybody cares. I don't think anybody cares if you do it with airlines or if you do it with aerosol cans or drugs or anything. As long as the thing works, as long as it's affordable, as long as it's something we can use, nobody really cares where it comes from. That's not true, right? I mean, but what, okay, so what else do we have? I'm trying to think of things that people get upset about. I can't think of, I don't know what processes the Chinese are stealing from America to make people mad. I don't care about medical innovations because it would be great if everybody had that information. What about energy? Energy solutions. Okay, so What if somebody discovered the perfect battery capacity chemical formula that maximized like the highest possible capturing method for energy? Right now, the limiting factor for energy storage is set by a maximum amount of whatever, cobalt 4%, magnesium this percent, whatever. The batteries we have are just maxed out, and somebody was able to find a way to increase that four or fivefold. Impossible to think about today, but if somebody came up with that, and if somebody shared that information, same thing, just dropped it on the internet, just bloop, now everybody has it. It's like WikiLeaks, but without spies and torture and all that stuff. It's like a nice WikiLeaks sort of thing. So now everybody knows how to have the best batteries or to increase battery usage. That's awesome. Or the best solar panel, or nuclear fusion generators. We finally crack the code. We figure out how to design the factory that will actually be able, instead of doing fusion generators that will generate enough electricity for a whole city, and there's absolutely no nuclear waste or chance of a meltdown, because if it becomes unstable, it doesn't leak or overheat. It actually just kind of dissipates, and the energy is lost. It's not, there's no chance of meltdowns from nuclear fusion factories, or at least the process that's been described to me. So somebody designs that factory and it works, and then same thing, somebody takes those plans and just drops it on the internet. Everybody knows how to make it. Now all the world has the blueprints to have a crap ton of energy. Now that's not necessarily true, because you probably need a lot of resources, a lot of minerals, a lot of just raw materials, and the capital to construct that, sure, and not every country can do that. But there is a brute fact that that generator is possible. So, is the brute fact that that generator is possible, does that belong to anybody? If you name that generator after the person that was discovered it, and you put a plaque on every single generator from Boston to Bombay to Belarus to all those, that's fine. Cool, do that. Make sure that person gets credit, or that the group of people that discover that get the credit. Give them a big old Nobel Prize and a big old cheesecake or something. That's fine. But the fact of the design, the reality of having that factory can't and shouldn't, I don't think, belong to an individual or a country, especially with the repercussions of what that technology would allow people to do. It could bring a lot of people good. So don't be a jerk. Don't hog it. That's just weird. Don't be a weirdo. What else? Well, the most easily recognizable intellectual property that's stolen is probably photographs and songs and movies. So go now into entertainment. Nobody wants to work on a movie for a year or 2 years, or maybe 3 years, depending on what the studio is or what your involvement is. If you're doing a really big blockbuster kind of sci-fi, a lot of computer-generated stuff in there, it might take 3 years in development. I know quite a few Pixar movies take a long time to produce, which is weird because they come out with a new one every year. So they've got probably a backlog of a bunch of different movies. But it takes you all that time and all that work and all that energy, and somebody can burn it online for free, or get a torrent of it, or get a bootleg copy of it, and you don't see any of that. I mean, that sucks, but I don't think it's crippled the movie industry. I think there's still a decent amount of people that go into the movies. I do know from I'm not personal experience, but from listening to different programs, that musical artists really, really have to tour in order to make up money lost in the fact that physical music copies, or sales of music, have kind of teetered out, have kind of gone down significantly, due to just rampant theft, or the fact that downloads cost a lot less than physical CDs and the retail requirements for that. So they have to do a lot more work in order to be it. Now, no, that's not true. I mean, some of the richest people in the world, I think Taylor Swift was what, not the richest person, but the highest paid celebrity last year or the year before. At the same time, she's working a bunch. For every Taylor Swift, there's probably thousands of other musicians that are not making nearly as much, which is obviously true. And there's no real brute facts about a song. It's somebody actually did just make that. Like, that's their voice. That's if they wrote it or if they got a team to write it. That's theirs. And you did steal it. So, yeah, you're definitely a dirtbag. But I mean, there's really nothing. I mean, yeah, if you steal movies or if you steal music, yeah, you're. It's not great. A lot of people do it. Nobody's really arguing about the rights of porn stars, though, as far as, you know, they used to be able to get paid, and now because of all the free porn online, it's hard for them to make a living. It's like nobody's kept up late at night worrying about the poor struggling porn actress or actor that, you know, they used to make this much and now they're barely getting by. So I think that's a reality as well. I think that's probably very true, that they're probably not making as much based on just how much free content you could get online. Well, what else? What else are they? Oh, probably the one that is the rudest and the meanest of all of them would have to be joke thieves. If you're a stand-up comedian, like, you can't steal Hamlet. The stuff's already been written, so anybody can. I think that's pretty much open to the public domain. Everybody can read Hamlet and do it in elementary school, whatever. But stand-up comedy and jokes that people put on for stand-up, that's very individual. And for the most part, I'd imagine a lot of stand-up comedians are coming up with their own material. I don't think they probably have a team of people that can write for them. But that's finding something that can make not just yourself laugh, but a group of people or a lot of people, or very, you know, famous comedians can make a whole stadium laugh. That's a special formula that works. And if this was an even number one, I'd cue the scene from Delirious where Eddie Murphy is talking about white people telling his jokes at work the next day and completely ruin them. There is definitely a part of stand-up comedians that you cannot imitate. You can maybe get the words right, but how they're delivered is a completely different animal. And that's kind of like the, yeah, you might be tall enough to dunk, but you can't dunk like Jordan. There's just a certain finesse, there's a certain beauty, there's a certain delivery of how that's done. Yes, you might be able to make a goal, but can you bend it like Beckham? There's that sort of thing. You can hit hard, but can you hit hard like freaking Ollie or Mike Tyson? No, probably not. So there's things where you can get the form right, but it's just the delivery and the finesse of it is very, very different. And I know, who is it? You can go online and see YouTube videos of side-by-side comparisons of comedians who are notable joke stealers. I think Amy Schumer, I saw one that was like 15 minutes long of just straight jokes, or what they call it, like parallel thought or something like that, where the joke might not be exactly verbatim, but it's very, very, very suspiciously close to the setup and the punchline of another comedian. So I think she got called out a bunch for stealing jokes. But also Robin Williams was extremely well known for taking people's jokes, and I don't think he was malicious in doing it, because he was very, actually, I don't know about his exact process. I would think it was very improvised when he goes out there, but I don't think so. There's probably a little bit of a method, at least points that he wants to hit and ways he knows how he can get there, even if it is pretty frantic. But I've heard that comedians would stop doing a set completely if they saw him walk in, because they didn't want their jokes stolen. And he would pay people for their jokes. Like, if he saw something he wanted, he would come back later and, you know, try to offer them a few a few hundred bucks to say, "Hey, I really like this. Can I use it?" So you could pay for it, or, I mean, you could get writers to just make your own stuff. But yeah, stealing people's jokes, yeah, you're probably a dirtbag if you do that. That's not nice. that took somebody a little bit of time to make that haha situation, that story, that impression or something. So yeah, you're a bit of an asshole if you steal somebody's jokes. I don't care if you steal the cure for cancer, that makes you a bloody hero. But if you steal somebody's joke, you're basically the devil. That's kind of where I come down on that. So that's really all I have to think about. Those are all my thoughts about intellectual property, as far as me thinking, for one, at least how I understand it, with China or other companies or other countries that want to steal things. If it's a brute fact, if the Wright brothers stole the idea of the airplane from some schmuck that couldn't put it together, it doesn't change the fact that the airplane exists. It just changed who was able to make it. And yeah, I mean, as long as the inventions are used in a moral way, so it's not like, somebody's found the best way to manufacture and spread anthrax or some superbug. Yeah, that's bad. You probably shouldn't do that. But for beneficial inventions or processes or goods that can be shared with other people, as a customer, I just want the thing. I don't really care who makes it. So I don't know. That might be the wrong way to think about it, because I haven't worked specifically in industries that are designed or based a lot on intellectual property. I mean, I was in the military. I don't know if they've really found the one process to bring about world peace. I think we're still working on that one. I worked at a nonprofit. I don't think we've cracked the code on how to make all the people with problems have their problems go away. I don't know. But I worked in construction, and I'm in a different industry now. But yeah, there's just ideas, and I think ideas are kind of not magical. I wouldn't say magical, but I don't think they can really be owned if they are true. If it's just a truth of reality, yes, you might be able to patent it and have the exclusive rights to make as much money as long as you can with that, but the fact that you did a thing, created a thing, can only last so long until other people copy it or mimic it or maybe improve on your idea. So yeah, it just seems like a really, really weird hang up, intellectual property, especially if you're trying to do things quickly in order to help people. And I'm thinking specifically for like medical applications. I don't give a damn about any of that sort of intellectual property. Share the wealth, share the information, share the research, get people better as fast, and you can, brag about who came up with the idea for the cure for pancreatic cancer, breast cancer. Like who? That's got to be the biggest asshole in history, is the company that finds the cure for breast cancer or cervical cancer or fetal abnormalities or other things like that. And they say, all right, we have a 5-year patent and nobody else can have this, so we can make as much money as possible. Fuck you. You're not going to share that information? No, you're stupid. Don't be an asshole. Share the cure for breast cancer, testicular cancer, prostate cancer, and all the cancers. If you figure it out, share that shit. Don't keep it to yourself. Be a dick. Yeah, that's how I feel about medical intellectual property or trade secrets or patents. So we're at a point where we're going to go into the next part of this podcast, and that is what I like to do at least weekly is reflect on three concepts that I think are very important for personal development, and they're alphabetical, sort of. It's the letter F, the letter G, and the letter H. Very easy. F, G, H. E, F, G, H. Yeah, that's alphabetical. So F stands for the word failure, or at least in this scheme, is for failure. And at least once a week, I like to reflect on what was my biggest failure. How did I fail? Because if you don't fail, there's no way you can improve or develop. So failure is a good thing. It's something you want to do. If you're not failing, you're just being a slug. Don't be a slug. And how I failed this past week, which will be the topic of episode 20, is this past weekend was my first drill week for the Army Reserves. I was active duty before, went inactive, ready reserve, and now I'm now in the reserve. So it's it's weird. Stories about that will be for episode 20. It's a little bit of preview for there. But one of the things I failed at was I forgot the PIN number for my CAT card, my common access card, which prevented me from completely in-processing with the unit that I joined, which kind of sucked because it kind of made me sit on my hands for a little bit when I could have actually been a little bit more productive. So that was a really easy thing. Got my CAT card about my new CAT card because I lost it when I changed from active duty to IRR, the inactive ready reserve, and got my new card, programmed it with a PIN, forgot the PIN, I got locked out of my card. Very simple thing that I could have prevented, but I didn't think to remember it, so that was stupid. The G stands for gratitude, so something I was very grateful for, and this is going to be weird. And it doesn't have to be, most of the things I'm grateful for have to do with food. I like food a lot. I can eat a lot of food because I'm a really skinny bastard. I haven't really hit that point where the metabolism just shuts off and I gain a lot of weight. So most of the things I'm grateful weekly have to do with either simple foods that I really enjoy or discovering a new food or a new kind of new place that, like, if I can find a donut place that makes a really good donut, it makes me happy because it's kind of exciting to find a nice donut shop or whatnot. But for this week, it was I was driving home to return a movie to Redbox, and there was a guy next to the machine, and he saw that I was returning the DVD, and he said, "Oh, you can go ahead." And so I returned it, and we started chatting, and we chatted for like 15 minutes, 15 or 20 minutes. He was talking about how, you know, it's a shame that he can't find, he's at the Redbox and he can't find him a good movie, and it hurts to think about the last time he really enjoyed a movie, and if I had ever seen the movie Last Mohicans, which I hadn't, but I have seen other Daniel Day-Lewis movies, so I'm sure it's wonderful. And we just started talking about random things, and it was kind of fun. It's kind of interesting, just this complete stranger finishing a cigarette, talking about movies, talking about his son a little bit. I shared kind of my thoughts about a few different things, and then he said, "Well, it was nice talking to you. Hope, you know, you have a good one." He went his way and I went mine, and it was just a single interaction with a complete stranger, and it was nice. It's just, I'm not a shut-in or anything like that, but it was just kind of a nice little encounter. And the ones that I really enjoy that are like that is when I've gone to the bar for UFC fights to watch the fights at, say, Buffalo Wild Wings or anything that I can know is putting on the fights. I sit up next to the bar, get a few drinks, and just pal around with complete strangers. I love it. It's great. It's not necessary. I could just be focused on the fights, but it's fun to just talk to random people, talk to strangers. I wouldn't say I'm the best at it, but I enjoy it. It's fun, and yeah, I think that sort of random connection is nice sometimes. I'm not a person that wants to start a conversation on an airplane, but if somebody kicks up a conversation, I'll more likely, you know, comment back or continue the conversation. I don't know. It's interesting. I just like talking to random people sometimes. It's fun. So that was something I was grateful for, that random interaction. And H is hunger. So something I'm hungry for. So one of the things this past weekend when I had my first reserves weekend was I saw the training schedule, but also the way forward in order to do something that I'd like to do within the Army. And so I started looking at the school dates that's available for, and started going online and seeing, because a portion of it is online school, and then there's 4 weeks of additional training after that, and seeing what I would have to do for that. And it's not impossible what I'm trying to do right now for at least my Army career, and it's actually not. It's not impossible because people do it all the time, but it's something I haven't done in a while as far as, like, school in general. Like, I was looking at the writing requirements for the essays you had to write and the different briefs and memos you'd have to create. I thought, I haven't been evaluated on anything in 3.5 years. Like, yes, I had had civilian jobs, and you'd get your quarterly or your semi-annual evaluations, but as far as somebody grading an essay, I haven't had that in a long, long, long time. So that'll be interesting. So I'm hungry to prepare for that and then to take that. I think I'm going to try to set it up in August or September of this year. But yeah, I'm just, if I can get ready, get prepared, and just smash that course, I will be in a much more less anxious way, and kind of secure a certain opportunities for me and my family, which is really kind of the goal, is just be able to provide for my family, for my kiddos, and for my wife. And I think if I complete this course, it'll open up different opportunities for me. So I'm just hungry to get studying on it and go out to the schoolhouse and just smash it. Just be great. This run where I ran a little bit later, a little bit longer. So this has been episode 19. Whose idea was it anyway? And this has been 400 Thoughts. This is the host, the driver. Oh my God, I'm so tired. Excuse me. And if you'd like to reach out to us, you can send a tweet at 400 Thoughts, at 400 Thoughts on Twitter, or 400thoughts.thedriver at gmail.com. Look forward to talking to you guys again. And next, either this week or early next week, will be episode 20. I'm not going to tease anything that's going to happen in episode 20, but it'll be kind of re-entering the military and kind of different ideas or assessments and reflections on that. And basically returning to starting new beginnings, but kind of old habits sort of thing. Anyway, hope you guys enjoy the episode, and I'll talk to you soon.